It's time for Quick Calls on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hey fans, welcome to another edition of Quick Calls. I am your host today, the legend T. James Logan. Got two co-hosts with me today. My co-hostess with the mostest, Otto
Allen.
Oh, I know.
Get the name right.
Otto Allen, I'm sorry. I was just mystified by your damn good looks.
Yeah, that's what I get told all the time.
And with the not-so-great looks, our good friend JT Shaw. Jaron, welcome to the show.
Yo, bro, what's up?
Now, tonight, PWA's Destiny.
Destiny.
It was a show, and we're going to talk about it tonight. First of all, let's talk about the crowd. Crowd not the biggest, but you know what? A lot of people brave this. It was like the movie The Fog or Silent Hill. Yeah, some scary crap, but people, you know, the PWA faithful showed up, and let's talk about the show. You want to open the show, Otto, and tell us about the first match?
Yeah, no problem at all. The first match was Rage Appeal. Alan Richard, and as well as Richie Rage, taking on Team Hall of Fame. I loved how this match started off with the whole not willing to put their belts up. The current champions refusing to put their belts up. But hey, Team Rage Appeal had the crowd on their side. Were able to transition the match to a title match. And we just had things go from there. So to me, it was a great match overall. Some of the features that was actually was a true tag team match. If you know what I mean when it comes to Rage Appeal.
Explain this one. Do you want to explain this one? Rage Appeal's kind of gyratic thrustings upon poor Chris Steele's bottom side and face at the same time was definitely a team getting tag teamed.
It wasn't ambiguously at all. It was right there for all to see. But you know what? It was a great match. You know, to me, it was probably one of the more entertaining matches. It definitely got the crowd going for a great card and a great match down the road.
Jaron, what did you think?
Come back to you.
Okay. I got to say, Michael Allen, Richard Clark, it was nice to see him in this is a different dynamic than Flex Appeal. And seeing him more of a forerunner there, he took a great deal of the match upon himself for his team. Yeah. Richie, solid as usual. The man's a powerhouse. But definitely the workhorse of the night, and definitely in this match, was Michael Allen, Richard Clark, who managed to straddle the, and I use the word straddle, straddle the fence between open comedy and actual good, tenacious wrestling. Enjoyed the match. Once again, Team Hall of Fame. You know, I've picked on them for so long about being old and tired, but let's face it. They are the quintessential heels of the old days, and I'm actually thinking I kind of enjoy the heels of the old days. Don't see that characters a lot, and they know how to do it. Everything from Chris Steele rubbing his crotch all over...
over the belt, yeah. Just stole the guy's hat, threw it down his belt, and yeah. Then my favorite, I'm going to call this the shout-out of the night... was when, what's his name, Dirty Dick yells out to one of the fans, hey, let me grab that last tooth out of your mouth. Yeah. He was just pure genius.
Duke has got a mouth on him that's, well, it's a mouth. Jaron, any thoughts on that match?
I think the whole match, the whole four wrestlers are pretty solid, pretty very technical.
Anything stick in your mind in particular?
Just the two heels, they were pretty entertaining.
Cool enough. Moving on to the second match. I believe in the second match... I'm rigging my heads.
Fury.
Right. The second match. I'm gonna open this one up, okay? The second match was Fury taking on Frenetico. Now, fans of Fall Fever, remember the Millennial Rebels coming out, attacking Frenetico, holding him down, and cutting his mohawk off. The war continues. Fury impressing me tonight, definitely showing a lot of ring presence, a lot of presence as a wrestler coming in. His entrance, you know, he really got things going. He had an air of danger with him, and the Millennial Rebels once again showing why they're the team you love to hate. Those boys know how to make you get under the skin, but there's kind of a playfulness behind them too that I enjoy. And but tonight, Fury really powering his way through. Frenetico. Well, another rough night for Frenetico ends up getting his mask stolen. We didn't get to see Frenetico's face. He had a t-shirt to cover up, but slowly it seems that the Millennials are stealing everything away from Frenetico. What were your thoughts?
You know what? I thought the Fury did a great job tonight. He had great teammates in the back. 3-1 is never odds in your favor, and I felt bad for Frenetico. I was desperately hoping someone would come out and help him for a little bit. But dude, the guy gave him props. He handled every little blind turn, blind eye. He took it. He battled back. The match went back and forth, back and forth. Sure, it ended in a bang, but hey, it's got me excited for the Millennium Rebels. I can't wait for the next match and the next match from Fury.
Jaron, what did you think?
I think it was a very entertaining match. I thought it was very exciting. Like you said, Frenetico took a lot of what the Millennials threw at him.
What do you think of the Millennials, their little shtick, first of all, their opening shtick, where they're always trying to mess with the ring announcer, and then to their constant, let's face it, three guys really know how to get an interference run.
I think it was pretty funny. It's like pretty entertaining trying to mess with, what about Ivan there? When he was trying to announce the one, Colton?
Copping in and out.
Yeah, it's a good stick. Gets the crowd going.
I got to give props to, I'm just going to say it, the thickness.
Absolutely.
The thickness. All right, moving on to the second match.
The second match was Jay Taylor taking on Jillian Lord. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the last time. Was Jay Taylor in the last PWA match in Edmonton?
Yes, he was.
Well, I'm going to say this started where that one finished. It was cheeky from the first second to the end. I'm telling you, the fans got more than what they bargained for. Even the cameraman had to turn away numerous times. Hey, the girls loved it for the most part. It was a battle of two Aussies, but they only knew that there was one Aussie out there. So it was kind of funny as a fan watching the match there. You know, I thought Jay did a great job. Jillian, they went back and forth quite a few times. Really engaged the crowd, which I appreciated in this match. Entertaining as you would. A couple of the odds, obviously, with Jay being just what really made sure that he showed his assets, so to speak, to all the fans, kind of what I would call a promenade around the ring there, just to make sure that everyone had a good close-up view. So props to the guy. I've seen this now twice. Keep up the work. And first time actually seeing Jillian out in the ring. I thought he did a great job. Looking forward to his next match.
Now, Jaron, I know you were extremely excited by the antics of Jay. Tell us a little bit of what you got out of that match.
Of Jay or the other guy?
Jay, the one who showed off his best assets to you.
No, that wasn't really exciting there, TJ Logan. Wasn't excited about that at all. It's like a little too much asset there to see. So
I'm thinking cottage cheese. I don't know about you guys, but it's not one of my favorite cheeses.
No, not mine either.
And where does this guy buy a singlet with kisses? I mean, he seriously reminded me of Barney Rubble's evil little son with an ass cheek problem. I gotta say, the new guy, first time I seen Jillian, gotta admit, I want to see more out of him. Right off the first look, reminded me of a Shane Sabre. Kind of had the same look, but there's still a lot of untapped potential there, and I'm curious to see what's going to come down the road. As for Jay, I'm pretty sure that we'll be seeing him for many more moons.
And probably more of his assets, too, knowing him.
All right, moving on to the next match.
Actually, we had a tag team match with the Millennial Rebels taking on a newcomer to the PWA, Aiden Adams and Gabriel.
You know, the returning Gabriel Lestat, we haven't seen him for a while. Aiden Adams, new to PWA. Interesting dynamics, but let's face it, the Millennial Rebels are a unit that's, you got to be on your toes at all times with these guys. They're cheating, they're interfering, they're doing every distraction possible. And once again, it's always a 3-on-2 with them because there's Fury on the outside, you know, causing as much damage as he possibly can. But in the end, a very surprise that, you know, Lestat rose above the occasion. They end up, him and his team get the pin in the end. Aiden Adams putting on a really solid showing tonight. The Rebels, well, they fell short. All three of them kind of laid out at the end of that match. And all I got to say is I kind of had wished Frenetico was going to make a run in sometime during that match and even the odds. What do you think, Jer?
I've seen many of Lestat's matches before, and he did put on a very good match, as I would have expected him to. The new guy, Aiden, he did very good as well. His technical stuff was great. It's the first time seeing him, so
And what are you thinking about the Rebels now in action there?
The Rebels? Well, they always do what they do. It's like you said, they cheat. They do what they have to do to try to pull through the win. But unfortunately for them, it didn't work for them this time.
Otto, what are your take on that?
I thought it was a great match. To me, it started right at the beginning when the Millennial Rebels come out. I love the stage presence. I love it when they're messing with the announcer. Am I coming in? Am I coming out? Am I ready to say my name? To me, it got me excited as a fan. As the match kind of went on, I loved the fact that the Rebels called out the new guy. Hey, you, come on out here. Let's take this to the next level. Aiden Adams, he rose to the occasion. I felt he did extremely well. He did this massive kick right into the thickness, which I thought was great. And then to top it all off with what I'm going to call a thickness body slam with a follow-up pin, 1, 2, 3, to me, great ending of the match.
I got to throw out props to the thickness. It seems the more and more I see him, the more he's coming out. The Rebels are really bringing out more personality out of him. I can tell he's a bit of a shyer guy, but, you know, his presence is getting more and more out there, and he's almost not quite as insufferable as Fury and Colin Kelly, but he's definitely in the neighborhood, and he's going to be knocking on the door pretty soon. Next, we go on to our next match. We're talking Fabian Ribeiro taking on Tony Cage. Tony Cage finally losing the belt, but you know what? A bit of mysterious, maybe not mysterious, but very questionable tactics. I'm sure the PWA may intervene. The referee was not exactly fair in this match. Otto, you want to take this one?
Yeah, you know what? Clearly, the Tony Cage was not impressed with the ref's ability to count 1, 2, 3. I'm going to be honest. There was a lot of slow counts during the match. Probably highlights for me during the match were at the moment when Tony, clearly cocky, arrogant wrestler, thinks he's the best. Obviously, he is the best. He is the champ. At one point, stops, looks for the cue for the music, and what happens? It's raining men. Blast through the system. Folks, we had ladies dancing on the sidelines, screaming, "It's raining men."
Jaren was dancing.
Unfortunately, they weren't dancing with Tony. They were dancing against Tony. Tony gets swiped. Next thing you know, roles are reversed, and Fabian comes out dancing to a victory, which I thought was just fantastic. New champion. To me, one of the greatest matches of the night.
Now, I know "It's Raining Men" really had you going, Jer. Tell me your thoughts on this match.
Only I'm going for a little while there, buddy.
A little while is better than no while. So, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, had a dance. I thought the match was great. What's his name? Fabian. Fabian always a good dance. Always, well, he puts on a good show.
It's the little things Fabian does too that are just comedic. I mean, you know, doing the thing and then the poke to the eye or the slap to the face, or
absolutely,
you know, these great comedic moments mixed in with some serious wrestling.
And when he gets his opponent to dance with him too.
Yeah, very much true. Now, I should explain to the fans why I said that there's some questionable endings. Tony started taking a few liberties with the ref, pushing him around, yelling at him.
Yeah.
And there came a point where Tony had pushed the ref across the ring with the belt, and the ref got up and he was going to stop the match, but Fabian stopped him and said, "No, don't stop the match. He'll walk away with the belt." And then he asked the referee to turn around, and he took the belt, and the referee turned around, plugged his ears, and Fabian clocked Tony in the face with the belt. And then the referee turned around and count the 1, 2, 3. Now, sure, on the level of fans, that was great to see Fabian get up there. But you got to know there's got to be some kind of repercussions here. I'm not sure the situation. I'm not sure if PWA is going to be too comfortable of letting Fabian, who is obviously a worthy contender, but I don't know if they're going to let this kind of decision stand, because the PWA has always been very forthright and very upright in their rules. So this... this is something that's obviously going to be dealt with the head office. Jaren, what were your thoughts on that controversial ending? Do you think that PWA should just let this slide, or should this be something that should be looked at a little closer?
Well, I think it would probably be looked at a little closer, because it is considered cheating, right? So, and the ref just turned his back, and he fully well knew that it was going on.
Otto?
Yeah, you know, I thought, hey, sometimes you got to cheat to win. And in the end, he got the belt. He won it fair and square. There's cheating going on all night. So to me, I don't think it's a big deal. It's all part of life. He won.
He danced his way in your heart, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Who doesn't? I mean, come on, we're all straight guys, but Fabian, man, come on, dancing. But let's go on after that. We had a match, and it was a beat-the-clock night for the last two matches. The first match had Sheikh Akbar Shabazz taking on Brett Morgan. Whoever won that match had a set time, whatever they finished their match in. Well, the next match after that, the two competitors would have to beat the time set by the winner of the first match. If that happened, one of those two people would be the number one contender for the belt. If not, whoever won the first match would win. So let's first of all talk a little bit about the match. Now, Jaron, I know that you're a big fan of Sheikh Akbar Shabazz, and I know Brett Morgan sometimes, it seems like he's a little flippity-floppity these days, but give me some of your opinions on this match of these two big men colliding.
The match started out great. Like, both were hitting back and forth, getting some great moves.
Definitely, it seemed like they kind of tired out a bit because these are obviously big men who are exerting themselves at a really higher pace. It did start to seem like near the end they were really battling to just battle.
I would have to agree with you there, TJ, because during the end they seemed they both would gasp. They couldn't put the moves on that they were at the beginning. So
it was such a heartfelt battle. Obviously, these two guys wore each other out faster than that. They would probably, with the smaller opponents. We don't usually see such bigger guys in the PWA matched up against each other. Shabazz is by no means a small guy, and Brett Morgan is a powerfully built big man. And I got to tell you, if you ever watch boxing, watching two heavyweights flurry for 90 seconds, that's about the best you're going to get. What do you think, Otto?
I thought it was a great match. To me, I would agree with the comments earlier. They did look like they were, low on gas towards the end. But, to me, there was a couple great moments in that match when Morgan, who, like, was he a face tonight? It's the first time I've ever seen him, like really trying to work the crowd to the positive side, where he picked up the Shriek and he slammed him. And you could see that it wasn't easy, He really fought for that. And for me, Sheik's probably best, maybe one of his best move, but he sure tried to, with the theme of being the Blue Jays and the baseball, really doing that home run slide. He came a little short. He definitely was out. But hey, props for giving it a go that late in the match.
Well, you know what? In the end of this match, Brett Morgan getting the win at 15 minutes and 2 seconds, which means in the final match of the night, Michael Richard Blaze taking on Sean Moore. One of these two guys, if they could make the pin or submission before the or even count out before the 15 minute and 2 seconds, they would have become the number one contender, one of them. As it was, it came down to they ran out of time with Sean Moore on a slightly dominant position with a single leg crab on Michael Richard Blaze to count out the time. Once again, Brett Morgan finds himself thrust in the number one contention spot. But I got to tell you, this was an off-the-hooks match. Otto, tell us a bit what you liked in this match.
These guys are great. I would say they're evenly matched in terms of their physique. Maybe a slight height advantage for Michael Richard Blaze. They went toe-to-toe this whole match. They went slap for slap. Like, you could feel the slaps at MRB was giving to Sean Moore. I thought Sean Moore showed a lot of great technical moves as well. There's that triangle choke that he was pulling off there, and then what was the single leg Boston crab at the end. Like, it looked fantastic. And I'm gonna say, like, kicks, man, MRB kicked him hard, dude. Like, not just once, but like 4 times right in front of us at the one moment there. And it's like, I didn't even think the guy was going to get up.
And that incredible running on the apron kick to the face.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know what? I'm giving big props to Sean Moore. This is only the second time I've seen him wrestle. I thought he did a fantastic job on his own. I just, dude, keep it going. Keep it going. Looking forward to your next match here at PWA.
Jer?
I agree with Alan there. It's like, MRB handed it out to Sean. Quite a few kicks. The one from the apron, like you said, I didn't think he was going to get up either, but Sean pulled through and he handed it right back.
You know what? I want to point out something interesting. MRB is definitely one of the most talented men in Western Canada, but he is riding in such a crest of frustration right now. He seems sometimes that half the battle is him battling himself. I mean, I'm sure with such high impact moves that he attacked, the string of moves he put together against Sean at one time, he should have been able to just
put a little bit more patience and go for the second or third pin and take him out. But instead, he'd blow the pin, and then he would waste time freaking out, yelling, carrying on. And instead of going, you know, this is a beat-the-clock match, Michael. You want to be the number one contender? You got to buck up. If he kicks out, well, then kick him a few more times in the head and make the pin again. Don't yell at the ref and let Sean Moore, you know, breathe in again and fuel himself up and come at it again. And it seemed like MRB lately, him and BVD, have worked themselves into such a frenzy over their anger that Mark is the champion and that they aren't, that they seem to be forgetting to know how to pull the trigger anymore at the right time. They're so busy arguing, carrying on with the fans, carrying on with each other, that they're letting precious seconds slip away. And when you're in a beat-the-clock match, the last thing you can do is let seconds slip away. The time caught up to MRB. Sean Moore, he came very close tonight. And I got to tell you, now I've seen Sean Moore and Alexander Prime teaming together, and I've enjoyed that team. But I really want to throw out some super special props to Sean Moore. I'm really, really digging him when I see him as a singles competitor. He has got this move. He's got this look when he's by himself, the way he carries himself, the way he stands, moves, reacts. He is like a one-man army in there. You look at him, and he's intimidating. He's a predator, and he can take it from you if you're not careful. Some beautiful technical Germans in the beginning, pulling off some incredible moves, surviving some hellacious kicks from MRB. At the end of the match, you know, going in, he hasn't taken much of a high run at the top of the PWA, and I thought maybe he wasn't going to be too credible of a contender for this belt. But at the end of the thing, I almost thought he was going to make MRB tap out. And
he only needed one more minute.
Not even a minute. I think he needed like maybe like 5 or 10 more seconds, and he would have had Michael tapping out. Sean Moore, I know you're part of a great tag team, but man, you are an incredible singles wrestler, and I really enjoyed what I saw tonight. Jaron, any last things you want to throw out about the show? Anything you liked about it?
No, all in all, I thought it was quite a few great matches tonight. Good job, guys, and we'll see you again.
You know what? We should, one of the things they like to do is pick their star of the night. And I'm going to throw it over to each of you. I want you to think about it in your head. Who was the one guy in your mind was the all-star of the night who made the show, in your opinion? And we'll start off with you, Otto.
It's going to be three guys. The three.
Oh, brother, here do we go back to Mike the ref crap. No, let's get it. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to say it. No, come on. Well, let me digress.
Oh, jeez.
All I want to say is, to me, the highlight of the night was the group effort of the Millennial Rebels. To me, I thought they worked as a team. They worked the match. They featured each other well. I thought, to me, they just worked extremely well together. Last time I seen them was Night of Champions. I thought they did a fantastic job building from what I seen them the last time there. They worked together. Like I said, it seemed very harmoniously together, you know. And for me, that's my biggest takeaway. Way to go, guys!
All right, Jaron. Your all-star of the night.
My all-star of the night, huh? I'll have to say Michael Richard Blaze. Just for all the like, his high moves, his gives quite a few kicks. He just puts it all into his wrestling. Like he gives it his all, like 100% or 110%. So
excellent. Well, you know what? I got to agree 100% with the Millennials. Looking great tonight. Fury stepping it up even better than I've ever seen him. Michael Richard Blaze, PWA's human highlight reel. But for me, I'm just going to give the all-star to me for tonight is a guy who I think rose to the occasion that many people may overlook now and then. And I'm going to have to say Sean Moore. To me, he was the all-star of the night. He was solid. Yeah, he turned in a draw, I guess. But I was riveting tonight. He went toe-to-toe with one of the toughest men in North America in wrestling. Michael Richard Blaze bursting with talent. Sean Moore running the same pace with him, keeping up, sometimes getting a little bit on top. And all I got to say, Sean, keep up the great work. And I'm hoping to see many more for you in the future as a singles competitor, too. I thought tonight was a great night. Destiny, obviously we were destined to go down here. We look forward to seeing more of the PWA. Any last things you need to throw out there, Otto?
Hey, if you're fans of the show, please let us know. Edmonton Sports Podcast Network is always here for you. Check out your local indie wrestling. It's pretty much the best entertainment you're going to buy for the price that you're getting. It's totally worth the admission. Come listen to us on the radio. We've got great things ahead. See you next time.
And, Jer, anything you want to throw to the fans? Looking for a girl? Send pictures? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Jer's the strong, silent type, and I could tell he had a good time. We dragged him on the show. This isn't exactly his forte, but thank you, Jaron, for coming on. I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, you bet, bro. Anytime.
And you know what, fans? Great night. We'll look forward to seeing you in the PWA, all around other indie wrestling shows in Alberta. Also, keep your eyes on an upcoming project that me and Otto will be delving into next month called Gutbuster. Wait for it. Television, not just radio. We're going to be branching out, showing some great stuff. And always keep on to the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Tons of updates, tons of look, some of your best audio talking about some of the best stars in indie wrestling. So, folks, have a good night.
All right, folks, Mike the Ref back here at Edmonton SPN World Headquarters here. Thank you to the legend T. James Logan, as well as Otto Allen and J.T. Shaw for this episode of Quick Calls. Unfortunately, being snowed in doesn't help getting out to shows. So thank you for T. James Logan for stepping up, as well as the rest of the crew there. One thing they did not pick up on this show that I think is very important for us is the fact that this was the final match in PWA for Tony Cage, following his defeat at the hands of Fabian Ribeiro for the Commonwealth title. He did announce that he was leaving the PWA. He is currently en route to Eastern Canada. Folks, there's two things I could say about this. One, I am really looking forward to what's going to happen with Tony Cage here in the future, because his future is definitely bright, the kind of talent that he is. And two, please check out our sister podcast here, Gutbuster Radio, as the legend T. James Logan had a 20-minute interview with Tony Cage talking about his career up to this point. In terms of Edmonton SPN programming, please check out my Blown Call show coming up this week, as I got a chance to sit down with Tyler Fudge of the Federation podcast, as well as Vulture Hound magazine out of the UK, as we discuss TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view. And I will tell you one other thing. This conversation gets off the tracks quite a bit, as we talk about a lot of different topics in TNA, independent wrestling, and hell, there's a lot of interesting aspects coming up in this. So, but also, we are going to have a Quick Calls episode, ironically enough, from a WWE show here coming up this Friday with the live event coming out of Edmonton, Alberta. I know that the wrestling mind Brian Hamilton will be there, Andre C, the first couple of PWA, Ryan and Amanda will be there as well. And I'm going to see if I can get a whole bunch of others involved here. Folks, we all know what WWE is all about, but the live shows is where they get to have a little bit extra fun, so I hope that you guys will be able to stick around for that as well, along with all the other great programming here on Edmonton SPN. And don't forget to pick up our t-shirts at whatamaneuver.net/Edmonton-SPN. But I think it's time to wrap this show up here, folks. So just remember, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls from the Century Casino in Calgary with PWA Destiny on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.